Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, Weirdsville. Welcome to your weekly rendition of The Weird. I'm your host, Barry Johnston. With me, as always, my friend, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you, sir?
Hello, Barry. I am doing well. Thank you very much.
Good, good. How are your Christmas plans coming along?
Oh, you know, I'm making plans. You know, here we are, and it's time to start getting it together. Usually, you know, I'm pretty good about doing stuff in advance. I don't end up having to do a lot of last minute stuff, but I've kind of got a short shopping list stuff. But I try to make of things that are, you know, thoughtful that people will like. I think that I am a good gift giver.
Oh, let me tell you, dude, from being on the receiving end of some of your gifts, you are an incredibly thoughtful gift giver.
You are, man. Well, I appreciate
that. I'll never forget this. He one day, this is about 3 or 4 years ago, I got a leather-bound moleskin book of, like, all of my favorite are, musical artists, and they were all ink drawings by you, man, and it made me cry, dude. It made me cry. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful sentiment, man. So, yeah, you're the best, dude. You're the best. Wow. You are, dude. You are. I don't know anybody that does that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, that was just something that I thought would be a fun project for me as well as a fun gift for you. And I talked to Nikki, your wife, a couple of times to try to get, I was like, you need to get me.
Right. Give me some more info. Right.
For more info. Because, I mean, I knew a lot of them because we have the same background. We grew up together. So we have a lot of the same taste. And we've talked about music so many times.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to, you know, get a fuller spectrum.
Right.
I mean, it was like, it's like 40 drawings or whatever.
Yeah.
There's
it's
30
crazy,
40
man.
Drawings in this thing.
And the great thing is that, I mean, my musical taste, like, vary quite drastically. And you went pretty deep, dude. You went pretty deep. So it was a cool gift to get. And I know I'm not the only one that's been the recipient of something like that. So, you know.
Yeah, I gave a similar sketchbook to our special correspondent and resident Bigfoot expert and voice of the listener, Jeff Hubbard, about a year or two before. Yours, I gave him for one of his birthdays. I can't remember, but it was a Bigfoot book.
That's awesome.
There's all these different drawings, just
That's
Bigfoot
awesome.
Things. I don't know. It was just
That's so cool, man.
Sometimes as an artist, I need to give myself these projects to keep working and keep going. Because I mean, you can get discouraged,
of course,
and you know, get into funks where you're not being very productive. And sometimes it's when you're not getting like commission work, you know,
right?
Or you know, you're just not feeling like other kind of like. You know, making giant paintings or whatever, but this is where but you need to work on something and you know, and this, you find that outlet. And that was, so I've done a couple of the sketchbooks like that. I've done some sketchbook exchanges with people. Mm-hmm. So where we like have one of those Moleskine books and we just, fill it up with drawings and sketches and, and like, give each other like 3 or 4 months to work on it and then hand it off to each other.
That's cool, man.
I really enjoyed that project. So if anybody's listening, any art friends out there are listening and you want to do that, get a hold of me. We'll try to figure that out.
That's awesome.
Also, you know, another thing that I've been thinking about this, but we haven't mentioned it is if any of our artists or musician friends out there who, want to make any kind of art that, or, you know, music that is inspired by the show, send that in.
Yeah,
and,
please.
You know, we'll try to, we'll post the art on like our social media stuff, and with the music, we'll try to incorporate that.
Absolutely.
You know, play it in some, at some point in the show, you know, yeah, and give you credit, yeah, and acknowledgement. Also just, you know, I mean, cause yeah, we know we have a lot of incredibly talented and creative friends. And so, you know, if you feel so inclined to do that, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
You know, but obviously, you know, you don't have to.
Right. So we didn't have to go very far this week to find our guest, did we?
Not at all. Not at all. This week's guests are literally a dozen feet above me in the
yeah,
upstairs.
Right. That's cool.
They're not hovering. They're not UFO people hovering in the sky. They're actually just, they're my neighbors who live above me.
Right.
Brett and Nani, his sister, their brother and sister, they just moved in back in August, and they're a couple of good kids. And because I call them kids because, you know, they're young, but I call everybody kids anyway.
Of course.
But I was outside one day, and I saw Grant out there. We were talking a little bit, and he was like, hey, you know, if you ever, you know, need somebody on your podcast, you know, tell a story, I've got one.
And I'm that's like, awesome.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Let's do it. And so it was like a week later or so, we had a spot, and we got them in. We got both of them in, and they had one story that, you know, they both kind of told, but you right, know, and that's their main story. That's Grant's main story, but it's really cool about the basement, mm-hmm, that they, in one of the houses they lived in growing up. And then Nani also has a story about messing around with the Ouija board, which yeah, we love.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it's great. Yeah, so let's get them on here. We're gonna start with Grant. So Grant, what's your weird story?
Awesome. Hey, thanks for having me. So here's my weird story. So I grew up in this this house. I lived there for about, I'd say, like 10 years. We had a finished basement, but then there was also like the unfinished part where like the heater was and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And ever since we moved in there, like, I had always watched all those like shows, you know, growing up, like with paranormal stuff. So I always had that, you know, respect for the paranormal. Didn't know if I truly believed in it, but if that was real, like, all right, cool. Please don't, you know, don't kill me.
but I think that's a good approach to take in general, you know,
yeah, healthy, yeah,
a nice little healthy, a dash of healthy respect and also fear.
Exactly. So, you know, yeah, exactly, exactly. Don't, gotta respect go, the spirits. I mean, I'm on their plane, same as they're on mine, right? So,
yeah,
you know, we're just sharing the same space. So anyways, for those that are listening, if you guys, to kind of give you guys a mental image, if my basement was a square box and the top of that square was the TV, there would be a couch in the middle of the square that basically divides that square in half, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the bottom right of that square, there would be like a rectangle. And that was like a miniature hallway that was separated by two individual doors. And in that hallway, there was a door that led to the bathroom, and then another one that led into like storage. And we had a ping pong table back there at one point. It was just kind of like kept winter clothes and stuff back there.
Right.
So yeah, every time I would go down in that basement, like, I would sleep down there. It was cold down there. Like, it was dark. I could sleep in. So it was like the place to be. Like, it was finished. There was a pool table. Like, it was the spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know what it was, but like, I could not sleep down there without closing those two doors to that, mm-hmm, back hallway, into that storage room. It just felt like this heavy presence, like someone was kind of looking over your shoulder type of deal. Like, you're just trying to go to sleep and you just feel like someone's watching you or whatever.
Old were you?
Oh,
sorry.
No, how old, yeah, were you
when this was, whenever this you know, paint the, when you're painting this picture, how old were you at the time?
So this is, like I said, I lived there for quite a while. I would say that I started picking up on these weird vibes. I mean, I always, you know, it felt weird down there from the day that we toured the house, but I didn't really make it anything of it. But I would say when, like, all the crazy stuff started happening, I would say I was about 16, you know.
Okay, okay. So you weren't, you were past the age of where imagination was very prime and could really get you going, so.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, okay. Definitely. I definitely had common sense, or I guess that's what I'm trying to say. yeah, didn't let the imagination run wild, though I have an active imagination. I mean, I do the whole film thing, so I, you know, I can see things or whatever. But anyways, like, this room back there was like the culmination of all the like darkest shit I would do, like, growing up. Like, I would take girls back there. Like, when I turned 18, I had like my hookah lounge back there. Like, I hid like weed back there, you know, like all the dark shit like went down in that back room.
Right.
So yeah, you know, it was just that place. Sorry, the cat's on my desk trying to make him go away. So yeah, all this dark stuff goes on back there, but I only felt safe back in that room when I was doing those darker things. Like, that like heavy feeling wasn't necessarily there anymore, like when I was kind of doing what a Christian would consider sinful stuff. By the way, I am religious. I am a Christian.
Okay.
So I believe in you know, demons, angels, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But anyways, I had this really close friend, and there was one point in our life where we were just like on fire for God, you know, we were praying a lot about just like our dreams in life, you know, trying to just make stuff happen. And there was one night, like, we had been just praying like for months, right, dedicated in the Word and all that stuff. And one night I just felt like, man, I really just feel like I need to go back in that room. Like, it's scary down there. Like, I just feel like this is my test right now. I got to go back there by myself, say my little prayer or whatever, and just like demonstrate my faith, right? So I go back there, and I'm in there by myself. I turned out all the lights. There's no windows in there, so it's total, just complete darkness. I get down on my hands and knees, and I'm praying or whatever. And that night I heard, like, audibly in my ear, like, your path is blessed, like God's voice, like, in my ear, and like it scared the crap out of me, dude. Like, I was like, oh my God, like, I gotta get out of here. You know, chills down my spine. And that was like a huge deal for me. Like, that, like, for me was like, okay, like, this kind of solidifies my faith in a way, and like I feel like I confronted something that I was really scared about, and like that's when I heard from him. So you're probably wondering, like, okay, how is this necessarily paranormal? Well, there's more to the story. So my mom, she was a small group leader at our church, and she coached a small group of girls in my same age group. And one of these girls claims that, you know, it's someone that I can trust. So I believe her when she tells me the story. But she told me, she was like, yeah, one night I was down in the basement with your mom, like, we were just watching a movie, all of us girls, and I like turned around and I saw like a demon like standing like in the doorway of like that back room, right?
Wow.
And she described it to me as like piercing red eyes, kind of like a silhouetted figure, as tall as the door frame, so, you know, pretty tall. She described it as like kind of thin, like, just shadowy, wispy, but she remembers those eyes, right? And there's no lights back there, like, it is what it is,
right?
And so she like turns to my mom, she's like, hey guys, like, I don't mean to like freak you guys out or anything, but like, I think I see a demon like in that back room. And my mom, being like this godly woman or whatever, she's like, well, like, look again, is it still there? And she like works up the courage to like turn around and like look back, and this time it was still there, but it was like peeking like around the corner of the door, right? Like just like peeking, right? Like, the way that I think of it, it's like all these Christian like girls and like these godly people like noticed its presence, and it like seems as if it was intimidated because it knew that it was known. Mm-hmm. So that is like the skinny of it. Wow. Again, like just dark shit. My dog, we had a dog, and every single time that she would go into the basement, she would immediately take off to that room and she would just bark at the wall.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
Barking at nothing, just the same spot every time. So I fully believe that there was a demon back there.
Did you, when you were down there, or when you went in to do your thing, like, was there ever an idea of get the thing out, or you know how some people cast, you know, these things where they'll go and they'll do sage and they'll do, or they'll talk to it and tell it to leave the house. Did you ever do any of that?
No, because the biblical teachings on that is like, you know, have nothing to do with witchcraft and stuff right. like that. So for us, like our way of addressing it, like I get you can have like a house like blessed or whatever, right. but I feel like that's more like with Catholicism, where that's more prominent. So right. no, we never had like the house blessed or saged or whatever. Mm-hmm. We just kind of
do you still
kind of let it be.
You don't. Okay. So, but do you still feel, or are you still in the house? Are your parents still living there, or?
No, they sold the house okay. after I graduated high school. Okay. And they live in Florida now.
I was going to say, did you still get that feeling when you'd go down the basement, like after that? I mean,
oh yeah, man. Wow. Dude, I mean, I like never felt comfortable down there. Like wow. I couldn't sleep down there unless that doorway was closed. Like, and the only time I felt comfortable back there is if I was going back there to go pick up like a blunt or something, or I was right. taking like right. a girl back there, you know yeah, what I'm saying? Yeah, like just yeah. some shit I shouldn't have been doing. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Wow. Cause it was kind of like this like ushering of like, yo, like, yeah, you're safe. Come do all this like dark stuff. You'll be all right back here. No one's gonna, you know, find out.
Right.
I think the demon just liked to watch. Right.
yeah. 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 He's a little peeping Tom. Right.
Right.
Wow. So, wow.
But that's the description sounds very much like, sounds like stuff we've heard before, where, it sounds like a shadow person, but with the glowing eyes. But the glowing eyes makes me think of the demon figure that Hammer saw, with, you know, yeah. where he, the black figured thing with just the glowing
yeah.
red eyes. So, right. and that's, you know, I mean, again, that's kind of a traditional kind of what you hear when people talk about, you know, kind of, you know, if they see some kind of physical manifestation right. or whatever of a demon, it's kind yeah. of got that kind of thing. So.
Whatever but it yeah, is, it's creepy, man. It's creepy.
Oh yeah, man. It's I'm so glad that we don't live there anymore. I mean, yeah, it was eerie, man. Like it, I don't know. Like you can feel a presence. Like it, you know, it's not your mind playing tricks. Like you mm-hmm. can physically feel something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And again, this girl that told me what she saw. Like she also says that she has seen like an angel in her room before, and she describes the angel as like way more scary just because of the glory like that it had. Mm. It's like a different kind of fear. Like Proverbs 1, it's like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And like for me to go back there and pray and confront my fears like the way that I did, like I felt like I was genuinely confronting this demon mm-hmm. and like trusting, you know, the Lord at right. that point.
Yeah, that was going to be a follow-up question that I was going to have is, like, do you feel like when you went back there and you prayed in the room that it was some kind of, like spiritual warfare or some kind of, maybe that was the kind of, for lack of a better term, the cleansing ritual, you know, that you kind of performed? Do you feel like it left, or do you feel like it remained even after you confronted it?
Oh, that's a... That's a good question, man. Honestly, I really didn't go back there a whole lot after that incident. Mm-hmm. Just because I knew that there was some hokey pokey going on back there at that point, just with the mm-hmm. whole experience I had. I would say, yeah, you would definitely still feel that like ominous feeling, and like it was even worse. Like there was an unfinished mm-hmm. part of the basement too, like that was adjacent to that room. It just mm-hmm. it shared a wall. And I would hide like my weed up in like the ceiling, like up in the like insulation, right? And mm-hmm. they were like, it was like your stereotypical like wood shelves, like concrete floor, one bulb of light that like had like a drawstring that right. turned it off. And you would go back there, dude, and like, oh, dude, I would just get in and get out as fast as I could. I'd be like, if this if this light bulb goes out, like, I'm probably gonna shit my pants, and it's not gonna be good. Fortunately, that never happened.
Yeah. At least, not that you're gonna admit on a worldwide podcast.
So. Yeah, exactly. Disclaimer: it did not happen.
That's great. That's great.
So yeah, that's my cool. In short, that's my weird story.
Cool, man.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Yeah,
we appreciate you.
Thank you.
On. Was there any other kind of activity in the house or that you are aware of? You know, was there any kind of things that, you know, that beyond just that corner, that literal corner that it was stuck in?
To be honest with you, man, no, not really. I felt very safe throughout the rest of the house. You could walk around the house in the middle of the night and without any lights on, and I wouldn't get that same feeling at all. I genuinely think like that room, like in itself, was like this portal that like either a previous owner of the house had opened, or we as in my friends, myself, my sister, opened by doing all the shit we did back there.
Yeah. Well, you know, who knows, you know, I wouldn't put it on you being naughty, but
I'm a good boy. I know I haven't really painted the best picture, but you know I say my pleases and thank yous, my yes sirs, yes ma'ams.
as you should
that's great man.
Well, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate you taking time for us.
And your sister, you said your sister's also got a story for us, so we're getting a twofer, Barry.
Cool. Oh yeah.
Oh, this great.
Yeah, two for one. And she, I'm sure she has, you know, some sort of something that she could share about that same room.
Cool.
But, yeah, Barry, Adam, thank you again for having me on.
Hey, thanks for being on, man.
And I can't wait to check it out and share this with my friends.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker. Chupacabra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge, you know. They're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun. Well, awesome, Grant. Thank you for that. And so we're switching over to Nani there, who was just sitting patiently in the background while we were speaking to her brother. So Nani, was continue on, please. And what's your weird story?
Hello there.
Hey,
how's it going?
I was saying to Barry, it's funny because I could actually hear you guys changing positions upstairs.
Oh, shoot. Really? Like through the floor?
Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, man. So how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm pretty good.
Good.
It's been a slow night, just hanging out.
Good. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate you taking time to come on with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. Well, I don't know if you were listening to Grant as he spoke, but he just told us about the demon or the darkness there in the basement.
Yeah.
And I know you've got another story that he mentioned briefly, but do you have anything that you can add to that? Did you have any experiences with the weirdness that was down there?
I mean, I definitely felt something down there. And like him describing like the lingering darkness, like that's what was like just so, like it was just the most dominating feeling that was there. Like, I just remember, like, I'd have a group of friends over in the basement, and we'd be sleeping on the couch, and, like, my friends would look at me and be like, hey, Nani, like, can you close that door? Like, before we'd start a movie, or before we go to sleep, or, like, play video games, whatever we were doing. And, like, it wasn't until I closed the door that everyone kind of relaxed. But even when, like, it was weird, like, and it was different from just being, like, spooked. Like, you can sit in a dark room and be, like, kind of creeped out just because it's dark, but it was, like, a little more than that.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was so weird. And even when the door was closed, it's kind of like there was something standing behind the couch just, like, looking down over you. Like, just, like, it was almost like something was, like, on your shoulders, like, staring through you.
Damn.
It was gross.
Wow, like, that's creepy.
Yeah. It was really creepy. And, like, we didn't know about the demon thing until, you know, like, my mom's small group's, like, girl told her about that. And I'm kind of glad we didn't know, because, like, that would have creeped me out more.
Obviously, for sure.
Because it was very apparent.
Wow.
How old was the girl that saw it?
Ooh, I think she was probably, like, 16, 17, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah, so pretty young. I think, like, her thing was, like, she told me she had gotten baptized, and she believed that, like, God had given her the spiritual gift to, like, see this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't think I would have believed her. Unless she, like, this was the only way I would have ever believed that, because she confirmed something that in the back of my head I always knew.
Right, right.
Was there. So it was really interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. It gives me, like, goosebumps thinking about it, honestly.
Yeah, me too. I mean.
Oh, geez, yeah.
That is crazy. How many times had she been in the house before she had seen that? Was that just, like, her first time in the house, or...
I mean, I'd say she'd been over there maybe, like, just a small handful of times, maybe three or four times.
Wow.
Not much. Like, she didn't come over that much. And, like, she definitely wasn't around, like, when anyone had ever talked about it. Yeah. And honestly, nobody ever talked about it. Like, it was kind of an unspoken thing in the house. Like, I think it wasn't until she confirmed the fact that she saw a demon that everybody started talking about, like, how uncomfortable they actually felt down there.
Yeah. And that makes sense, because if nobody saw anything, but you get that kind of, that ominous feeling, you know, that's hard to describe to people and not, you know, I mean, it's
right. And now that you
can sound strange, you can put a
name,
weird,
you can put a name to it, or you can put, you know what I mean? Now you can categorize it. Yeah, yeah, right.
Oh, 100%. Because, like, if you were to come down there and be like, oh, I'm spooked because it's dark, like, there's really not much you can say, like, why you're kind of, like, paranoid.
Yeah. You can say that just about any kind of, like, basement, exactly. You know?
Mm-hmm. And,
you know,
oh, absolutely. Things
like that. It's like, you know, at the right time of day or night, you know, you go down in a dark basement, and it's just kind of creepy because, you know,
I mean, absolutely.
Even if it's finished like that, you know, we had a basement in my house growing up that, it was large. We had a room that had a pool table in it, and then a room that was for laundry, and then another room that was like storage, and then a tiny in the far back little workshop that nobody ever went into, because I think that's where my dad hid Christmas presents, but we weren't allowed to go in there. But it was just, you know, it was this big thing, but. And I never felt anything bad or negative about that house, but still, just going downstairs in the dark, you could go down to, like, where the landing with the stair, you know, but past that, you didn't really even want to go any further. Yeah. And there was, you know, there was nothing there, but it's just creepy, you know, and when you're young and little, especially, you know, everything dark and evil is down there.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, like, yeah. That's confirmed where all the monsters live.
Right.
That's exactly. You don't want to, like, have your closet door open when you're going to bed. Doesn't mean there's actually a demon there. It's just spooky.
Don't dangle your feet over the bed.
Absolutely not. Keep your feet covered. Like 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, man.
So, oh, that's too real.
But you didn't have any, you had the same kind of thing where you just felt the heaviness, the darkness of it, but didn't really, you never saw anything there yourself.
Yeah, no, I was too scared to, like, I think explore that at the time, because a piece of me didn't want, my basement to be actually haunted, because that's right. where I spend a lot of my time. And it's like, right. oh, if that became haunted, like, I'm screwed. Like, what am I going to, where am yeah. I going to hang out?
Right.
So I think I never explored that in the basement, but I did explore that in other areas of my life,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So luckily I never really experienced anything like, you know, things flying across the room or anything specific like that.
Definitely.
Or else that would have freaked me out too much. Yeah. Like, big time.
Yeah, I'm feeling you there.
Oh, gosh,
so,
yeah.
All right, so now, so we've covered that. That's just the side of it. So you've got another main story.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And this one, Barry, is all, this is the one thing I know about it, because this was just a side note from Grant before we started recording, saying that she had a story, but it's a Ouija board story.
Oh, yeah, right. It's so good.
Okay, all right, let's get into it.
It freaks me out.
We love Ouija board stories.
Yes.
Every single one of them is freaky and just, you know, so, yeah, we're excited to hear it.
Okay, yeah, this one's pretty spooky because I think what got me into it was, like, I went to, like, a really small Christian private school. Mm-hmm. And when we were seniors, we had to do this thing, like, our senior research paper. And it was, like, a really big deal. And everybody picked, like, really normal topics. Like, gun control and, like, political things.
Right.
And, like, me being myself, I was like, nah, like, I'm not going to do that. I kind of wanted to be a punk. And since it was a Christian school, I'm like, I'm going to do research about demons. And honestly, like, it started off as a joke. I decided, so, like, one of the things for our research project was we had to have, like, a scholarly article, something from, like, I think a textbook, and then personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing a bunch of research, but for my personal experience, I was like, well, what's better than trying to contact demons personally? So that's exactly what I did. Like, one day after school, me and my friends, we went to the store. I think we went to Toys R Us to purchase, like, one of those Hasbro Ouija boards for, yeah, like, $20.
Yep.
And we were kind of, like, messing around with it. And we had like, a month to do this whole project. And I would gather, like, a group of friends, and we kept trying it and trying it over and over again. And I swear, like, we never got anything. Mm. And, like, for my research project, I kind of just wrote, like, yeah, like, I'm surprised, but it didn't work. And, like, some time had passed, and, like, I kind of forgot about it, but it was still in the back of my head because I was convinced, you know, you see videos on YouTube and stuff where people get, like, these crazy results,
mm-hmm,
you know, whether they're fake or not. I really wanted to prove it. So I couldn't get it out of my head, but the people that I was doing this, like, Ouija board experiment with, like, nobody was taking it seriously. I mean, right, like, we were laughing. We thought it was hilarious.
That's the way it usually goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it should. It just
a lot of, I'm not moving it, you're moving it. I'm not moving it, you're moving it.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Like, anything to make it less freaky, even if you want something freaky to happen, it's like, you kind of don't.
Yeah.
So anyway, some time had passed and the research project was over, but I still had this, like, lingering urge to, like, really, really try it. And
before you go on, what grade did you get on your research project?
Actually, first of all, I think I got, like, an A. I'm like 90% sure I got an A, but my teacher emailed my mom very concerned, thinking I was messing with the occult. So my mom came up to me. She's like, "What's up?"
That's great. Worth it. That's worth it.
Yeah, it was totally. My mom knew me well enough to, like, laugh it off, but I found that pretty funny.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, so, like, a year had gone by and I never figured out that mystery, and I'm stubborn, and I was like, I'm gonna do this one day. So it was, like, December. I had been at college at this point, and me and my friends were hanging out back from high school, and one of my friends, she's, like, super logical. I was kind of explaining to her about my research project and we were laughing about it, and I was like, I've really been wanting to try this again, but, like, to really truly take it serious and see if we can get something. And she's like, dude, like, let's do it, let's go. And I was like, are you serious? And she's like, yeah. So we came up with this, like, roadmap of really spooky places in Cincinnati, and apparently, like, if you go at, like, between 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. because 3 a.m. is like the devil's hour or something.
Yeah, the witching hour.
Oh, the witching hour. It's real, I swear.
Yeah, man.
Oh, it's real. It's, I mean, like, it's a weird...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you get...
Yeah, there's something weird about that time. I mean, that's really... We hear all the time strange stuff happening around 3, so...
Yeah, I bet, because, like, I mean, I wake up at 3 a.m. sometimes just for no reason. I get, like, a vibe. I don't know. It's a weird time.
Yeah.
But we had planned a road trip to go to, like, this one place called Buffalo Ridge, and then there was this other place. It was an abandoned orphanage, or it used to be an orphanage, but they turned it into something else, but it still had, like, a really dark history, and it was, like, claimed to be haunted. So we had went to this Buffalo Ridge place first, and it was like 2 a.m. and it was foggy outside and it was super creepy, and we pulled into this abandoned house off the road, Buffalo Ridge, and apparently like a bunch of people had died there, and people see like a creepy woman in a white dress walking down the road. Like, it's spooky. Oh yeah. And we pulled into this driveway and we're like messing with the Ouija board a little bit, and like we promised each other that no matter what, we wouldn't fake it and we wouldn't like goof around. Like, we'd try our best to be serious. So we're sitting in this driveway, and she had like a backup camera in her car that we were kind of looking at, because we didn't get out of the car. We didn't want to. It was too creepy. And there's like fog wrapping around the car, and you could just see it in the mirror. And like, oh, wow. The only thing lighting up the house was this headlight. And we're like messing with this Ouija board, and it's like kind of moving, not really. And we're getting really creeped out, like the same way I described, like that feeling in the basement, we were getting it there. And to be honest, like, it creeped me out so much because I identified with that. And I said, hey, let's go to this orphanage instead. We moved to this orphanage,
which to me honestly sounds like a much worse idea.
Yeah.
In retrospect, I completely agree. Like, it was terrible. It was a horrible idea. But not only was not only was it a bad part of town, because we were in like downtown Cincy, but like the bad part of downtown Cincy. So now it's like 2:30. We're sitting in this parking lot, and I told her, I was like, hey, and it's a really narrow parking lot, so I said, you know, when we park, aim so we can like peel out of the parking lot at any time, because you never know.
Yeah,
mainly I said that because we were kind of in like a place where there could be like gangs or something, you know, or just crime. So this is where things get weird. So we're sitting there and we're asking questions, and we kind of just said like, oh, is anyone there? And like, it moves to yes, but like really slow. And it felt kind of like, okay, maybe we're shaky and it's moving just from like vibrations of the car or whatever. And we kept asking to confirm like, who are you? And we said like, I think, are you evil? And it moved to no for that. But it was going crazy slow. And we just kept asking kind of like questions, but everything seemed like, again, slow paced. And finally I was like, I looked at her, I was like, should we go? And she's like, I don't know, like, let's give it another chance. Let's hang out a little bit longer, because 3 a.m. was coming up, and like, I had talked to her about the devil's hour, the witching hour.
Yeah,
and
she was
like,
all
right, yeah, like, let's stay for that. I was like, oh God. So we both agreed we'd stay for that. And we're in this like super narrow street. We had been there for probably like maybe an hour, maybe an hour and a half, and we hadn't seen a single person. And this thing's moving, and like, yes, we're creeped out, because we definitely could sense, like, okay, yes, it's moving, but like, rationally, we're trying to come up with reasons as to why it might be moving like that slow. And finally, we asked the Ouija board, we're like, hey, should we leave? And this thing kind of moves to yes, like, really fast. I was like, okay, that was weird. And we like looked at each other, we paused, we're like, let's try it again, because we actually didn't want to leave, even though we were asking if we should leave. We didn't want to.
Yeah.
So we ask again. And every time we ask, it seemed like it was getting more like impatient, or like moving quicker. Like, it was like, yes, like, go, go, go. Like, it felt like there was a sense of urgency to its answer. I don't know how to describe that. Mm. Maybe it was feeling, or maybe it was like the pace. But like, that started to like... I don't know, you could just feel it.
Right.
So then finally, sat down, we're like, okay, we'll ask one more time. We're like, should we leave? And this was the creepiest thing ever because the lights in the car started flickering. And she has like a 2016 Mazda. So like it's a decent car.
And
we kind of like look at each other and I was like, hey, do your lights normally flicker? And she's like, I swear never. And I get this like, you know, when you get like static and you feel like that weird tickly sensation on your skin.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. And it started from my shoulder and it went down through my elbow all the way to the finger that was on like the little, we were using a shot glass instead of the planchette.
Yeah.
And it came out of that finger that was on the shot glass and it felt like somebody like poked my finger and then that thing shot to goodbye like so fast.
Wow.
And I looked up and like I hadn't said anything because like it happened so quick and I was like, oh my God. And she looked up at me and she's like, holy shit. She's like, did you feel that? And I was like, yes. And I like pointed to my finger. I was like, that poke. And she did it at the exact same time.
Whoa.
We freaked out. Oh, and then we look up. And like I said, we had been there for like an hour and a half, hadn't seen a single soul. It's 3 a.m. We're at this like old orphanage and there's this dude in a black sweatshirt and his hood up walking down the middle of the street looking down.
Wow.
And there's a sidewalk, but he's walking down the middle of the road and there's fog wrapping around him. Like it was,
wow.
It was weird.
Time to get out, man. Time to get out of there, dude.
Oh, absolutely. I look at her. God. I'm like, girl, like, we got to go. And she's like, no, let's stay. And I said, no, like, we're leaving. And as we're, like, peeling out, this dude kind of starts walking faster as to, like, stand in front of our car to block us in.
Because,
like, this parking is really narrow. Yeah. It was so weird. And he kind of, like, picks up pace. And I'm like, girl, like, floor it. And she floors it. And we were like speeding off and like the lights are flickering still. And like finally we're driving down the road and like we were freaking out.
Wow.
Like it was weird. Yeah.
Wow.
The fact that I felt it physically, I think was what was like really
right.
Defining.
Yeah. Cause like if the thing were just moving and you would, this is what you always hear. You always hear the guy go, I think it was the other person moving it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure, yeah, for know? Sure.
But the fact that you felt right, the touch or whatever it was on, like that lit you up. That.
Oh.
I don't think that's a feeling that could be reproduced any other way.
Yeah, I agree. It was kind of like if you've ever like rubbed a balloon on your arm and like the hairs on your arm stand up. You stick the balloon to the wall. It was kind of like that, but like inside and everywhere. Like through that, your whole it was weird.
Damn.
It was super creepy. And right after that, we drove to a Meijer parking lot. To kind of like rehash the events.
Yeah.
And we were stupid and wanted to keep going, and we started asking questions like. Because my mom always told me when she messed with Ouija boards, she would ask it like, oh, do you love God? And I wanted to try that myself because she said that the Ouija board always says no, because like that means it's evil. And like the Ouija board told us it was good. And maybe I thought it kind of was because it saved us from possibly getting like stabbed. I really don't know what was going on with that guy.
Yeah.
But I thought we kind of got saved.
Right.
Wow. We're sitting in the parking lot.
Wow.
And it sure enough, it said the same thing. It said no. It said that it was not of God, and finally I said, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Did you close it out? Did you put it to goodbye?
Yeah, so I put it to goodbye. Okay. Like, we Googled it really fast, like, in a very big panic, and, like, oh, how do you dispose of Ouija board? You, like, rip it into, like, 7 pieces, because that's, like, a holy number or something. So we did that and, like, left it in the parking lot. Like, somebody probably found that and was like, what the hell?
Damn.
Oh, yeah. Man.
It was gnarly.
Thank God for Google, man.
Amen. Who knows? I could have been like haunted for the rest of my life.
I never knew that. I never knew that was how you did it. I never played with a Ouija board either, so I wouldn't.
Yeah, I never did really either. I was around when other people did, but I never messed with it myself, just in case.
Just in case.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I support that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because we were. Barry and I, we grew up in the Methodist Church, and so we were very, we were also part of the Satanic Panic era of whenever that was going around. So everything was evil and everything was satanic, and so you don't mess with these things. And so, you know, we didn't mess with those things, and it just kind of stuck. But you know, we always loved hearing about it, though. So.
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
I'll listen to anyone's story any day, but like,
exactly.
I will never touch another Ouija board again.
Yeah. Because, right.
Like, I was scared that something would have attached to me. I don't know.
Wow.
I mean, and it sounded like you just got the perfect night for that entire experience.
Oh, absolutely.
With the fog and everything. Yeah. And that's because, I mean, the fog can get really thick here in Cincinnati. It's really cool.
Yeah,
it really does. It definitely, like, it was very eerie. It added, like, an aspect of, like, something you'd see on a horror movie, honestly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've had friends play with Ouija boards, and I don't think the stories ever end in a good way. Everyone's always like, we got as far away from it as we could, you know? I think that's one of the reasons why I never really mess with them either. Just, you might invite something that you can't get off of you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what I was scared of. Like, I was kind of paranoid for like 2 weeks after that because
right.
I just thought like, I mean, you're right. You hear the stories of people who get like poltergeists or something, and then they start living in your house, and then you're like haunted.
Right.
Shoot, I wouldn't know what to do about that.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
And you had already had your previous experience with the thing in the basement, too. So, I mean, you're.
No kidding. I don't want to add another one to the list.
Brave enough to even, you know, for lack of a better term, to chase after whatever you could find with the Ouija.
No kidding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You got some cojones, man.
I did. I was ballsy, but I think it was more like ignorance rather than being brave.
Right.
So now that I know, it's not something I play with anymore.
Yeah. Wow. Great. That was a great story.
That was.
Yeah.
What a trip.
Yeah, it definitely creeped me out. I still think about it.
Do you ever talk to her about that? Do you ever talk to her at all? About that night or anything like that? Or is that something that once it happened, you just stop talking about it? Like, okay, let's just leave that there.
No, that's a good question. I think for a while we didn't say anything about it because I think we didn't take it too seriously, but like deep down, both of us in the back of our minds, we did take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was more of like, we didn't want to acknowledge that. And right. I think it wasn't even until like a few months ago that we were sitting down. We had been drinking one night and I said, hey, do you remember that one time that we drove out to like that place on Buffalo Ridge? And she's like, oh my God. And we really just got into it there. And like, we're definitely both on the same page. Like we loved it, but we hated it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you one cool thing about this show is having someone confirm, like if you had the opportunity to be with someone when you saw something or experienced something, to have the ability to have somebody confirm that years later is really kind of powerful. We've had a few of that, a few stories like that we've talked about, and I've talked about it too, but about with my dad. We thought we saw a UFO when I was younger, and
oh no way,
yeah. And then I brought that up like, you know, not long ago, and he still remembers that. So, and he's like, yeah, we definitely saw something. You know, it's like, you see, I wasn't crazy. I didn't make that up. You know,
that's honestly like the most real thing I've ever heard, because it's true. Like, you forget about it after some time, or I guess you don't forget about it, but you start to like,
well, you don't know how to process
like,
it. You know, you
devalidated
it. Right. You process it. You process it to the point where you can sort of tuck it away and put it into a box. You know what I mean? Like you grapple with it to the point where it fits nice into a box, and then you just kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's kind of more like, it almost just feels like it didn't happen, or like it was a dream maybe. Like, just,
exactly.
You just take away like the reality of it, I think, to feel sane a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. Well, also because it's such an unusual and uncomfortable kind of thing. It's not the normal everyday kind of thing. And like, you know, you either push it away, or on the other side of the coin, you start you know, a crusade about it, and you start trying to, you know, you delve into it even more, and you try to figure things out, and that also can take you down. That can take you down all sorts of rabbit holes.
Mm-hmm. Oh so, gosh, yeah, I can only imagine.
So you get, you know, I mean, that's you got to find that, I guess, a healthy balance of like how to deal with that kind of experience, I guess.
Right.
No, just, I think like, you're right. You don't want that kind of thing to consume you. That's pretty dumb. Like you have to respect it.
Right.
That it's just like a natural order and not to get too crazy about it.
Right. And you were treating it from the aspect of a reporter. You know, you're just you're trying to do a job, which is good, I think. That you don't get wrapped, because I could see how people would get wrapped up into that stuff. If you could take a board out and you could get into contact with these things, I mean, that would be something that people would get into. I mean, and they are into, I'm sure. But you know what I mean? I can see why.
It's strangely addicting.
Right.
Like, it actually is. Just like when you get an answer of something you've been asking, and like nobody can give that kind of answer because it's honestly just mystical, like then you finally get that answer, it's like you get an adrenaline rush. Like, there's nothing like it.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, and that's a good point, because like whenever our friends were messing around with one in high school, they would go out to the cemetery at night and play, and you know, they kept doing it, and they kept doing it even whenever, like, they contacted an entity called Gus, and Gus, like, you know, like, went around with them. I guess they weren't always at the cemetery. That's where they started. But Gus went around with them, and then Gus kind of, like, latched on to one of our friends and, like, not necessarily attach, but he really started to antagonize our friend and was, like, saying, like, you're going to die on this day. And everybody was, they were all freaked out about it. And, of course, he was this kind of guy who just laughed it off. So, you know.
Jeez, I hope so. If that started getting to you, like, gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they kind of, like, when that happened, they really kind of just stopped. They didn't want to mess with it anymore. But, like, I mean, it's, you know, they got really fixated, you know, because it was fun, and it did give them that charge, and it was mysterious, and you know, and weird things happened. So,
but they couldn't they couldn't Google how to properly shut it down. I mean,
it's all about WikiHow. WikiHow will tell you how to do anything, even things you don't want to know how to do.
That's great.
It's got your back.
Awesome.
Oh man.
Well, thank you for coming on. You were great, really great.
Oh yeah, 100%. Thank you so much for having me. This was super fun.
Yeah, it was a blast. Well, cool deal. All right, well, you'll have to say thank you to your brother, although, you know, I'll probably see you guys on the porch, Adam. Check for mail. We appreciate you guys both being on, and those are both just great story, and all of those stories were fantastic. Great. So,
hopefully, awesome. I'm glad you guys liked it.
Yeah, I love it. Hopefully you guys didn't bring anything dark and evil to the house here. So.
Nothing yet. I haven't sensed anything, but I'll let you know. You'll be the first to know.
The Wi-Fi connection's been iffy from time to time. Yeah. Maybe there's something going on.
That's horrifying. The lack of Wi-Fi. Oh, my God.
That's real, true, sheer horror right there.
That's the spirit of spooky season.
Cool deal. All right. Well, thanks again, guys, and we'll be seeing you soon, and we appreciate you coming on.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for having us. Take care.
See you guys. You too.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YEO. -weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, that's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, what's your weird story? Currently, there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of their shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors. Boy, I tell you, I am happy that I never messed around with the Ouija board.
Oh, God.
Or at least had any success when I
was here. Me too. I don't think I ever did play with one, but I think that I always told myself that was a bad, bad idea. Don't cross over that boundary.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure I never played with one. I don't think. I know I've been around one a couple of times when people were messing with it, but I was just like, I don't need to go messing down that door. You know, I don't need to go running up the hill. I don't need to do whatever it is. That's just, that's not part of the YOLO experience.
That's for sure. Gosh, man.
But man, that was awesome story.
It was
freaky story.
Yeah.
And, one of those, you know, and kind of brave because, man, they're, you know, going out late at night with a Ouija board in some of these dark areas in Cincy, man, that's that could be real scary.
That is, man. Yes.
So that's, you know, and especially being, you know, a young woman, a couple of young women, so.
Right. Yeah.
But I guess maybe for the simple fact that she had already had experience with a demon in her basement.
That's true. That's true, man. I've been in some basements where I felt very uncomfortable in. I'm only imagining that must have been what that felt like, you know, to live with that kind of presence. I don't know what to think about those stories sometimes, man. It's like, it's almost too scary to think about. So you just kind of how about we just not even go there?
Yeah.
Shadow people and, you know, these crazy demonic sort of things, man, are malevolent creatures that we don't know much about. And, it's spooky stuff, man. Spooky stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But we love hearing about it.
We do, man. And
that's the thing.
We love hearing about it. Yes.
We're not certainly not brave enough to go poking around that.
Yeah.
Love hearing about it. So,
yes.
And, I've asked them if they've had any kind of weird experiences while here since they moved in here in the house. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, there's been no.
Right.
And that's been the answer. So hopefully, knock on wood,
keep it that way.
The same. Yeah, because the basement here is like, well, that's where we, you know, got our washer and dryer.
Right.
There's
the communal space.
And there's also an apartment downstairs in the basement area too. Oh, okay. We got a couple of young girls that live down there. It's also sisters. Everybody's got this siblings in their house except for me. So I got my cats. I don't think. I'm daddy to them, so I'm not siblings. So, but they're siblings, so I guess that works out. But but hopefully, no bad things, no ghosties or anything like that while any of us are here. So,
no kidding, man, no kidding. But no, they have great stories, and we appreciate them coming on and taking great. The time.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, awesome. And you know, we really want to hear from you, and that is really kind of the basis of what we do is listen to your stories, and we've been lucky, been blessed with a lot of really great people.
Oh yeah,
and they just keep coming, and we're excited to talk to people, and we want your stories. So if you got anything, please get in touch with us, and we'll get you scheduled to come on here and enjoy a good conversation.
Yeah. Or if you if you're shy of interviewing, of speaking to us in person over Skype, but you still want to be part of it, you can write your story down and send that in, and we will in the future have our good friend Jeff read out your story and we'll discuss it. So
absolutely.
That's always fun too. We enjoy doing that. So yeah, well, thanks for listening. We've got a lot of cool stuff to wind up this year, 2019, with next week. We have an old friend of mine, Shannon, who I knew from my Greenville days, and he has got some interesting stories.
Awesome.
You know, a variety of stuff, too. And the first time we've ever had anything, which I'm going to go ahead and say it. When the first time we've had a kind of a doppelganger type story, which is really, really cool.
It is cool.
So tune in next week. or download next week or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying. We appreciate you guys. We love Weirdsville. We love all the support and, you know, everybody sharing their stories and just the fun times that we all have. So thank you as always. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.